Are you a school leader striding for excellence? Do you crave actionable strategies and fresh perspectives to navigate the challenges of education today? Get ready to take charge. This is Control Shift Lead, giving you something to control, something to shift your thinking, and something concrete to help you lead your school. With Jim Wichman of Inspired Edification and Adam Bush of AWB Education. Now on the Forward Ed Network, where they are advancing voices and shaping education. Your journey to empowered leadership starts now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Control Shift Lead. I'm Adam Bush from AWB Education. I'm thrilled you are joining us. It's officially March 1st, and to me, this is the best month of the year, especially for any of us who are big college hoops fans. I mean, we're just a couple weeks away from Selection Sunday, and the tension in the air, it's real. I mean, it's just here. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jim Wichman from Inspired Edification. Jim, before the show, you and I were talking a little bit about pizza. So yes, I'm going down that route. I know it's basketball month, and we talk about the stuff that we have during a watch party, all of that stuff. We're talking about pizza, and I want to get into that, like how we're going to fuel up for these few weeks here in March, and need to settle this kind of Midwest deep dish debate once and for all.
Well, you know, Adam, I love Chicago, and I love so many things about it, but Geno's East pizza with a deep dish with the sauce on top and everything, it just... Mm-hmm. Where it takes 45 minutes to get there. When he gets there, though, it's still amazing. Our guest today, though, she's from out in New York area, so I'm not really sure how that's going to go with if she's a deep dish person or if she's got that New York style where I think they fold it up. We're going to learn more about that. What's your style, Adam?
Well, I'll tell you. It kind of depends on the mood I'm in. I like the deep dish stuff too. That's great. Sometimes I'm just not patient enough for it. Like you said, it takes forever to get to my table when I'm in the restaurant. So sometimes the thin crust is okay and just get there. I just like pizza, to be honest.
You just like pizza. I get it. I get it for sure.
Well, so you mentioned that we have a guest with us, and it's a very special guest with us. Going to help us navigate the madness of school leadership. Today joining us is Kanika Dorsey, and I know that you've actually had the pleasure of working a little bit with Kanika before, so I'll let you do the honors. Who do we have on the show today?
Hey, thanks, Adam. I am so excited to introduce Kanika Dorsey. She is just an amazing human, first of all. Kanika is currently a middle school principal of a beautiful, beautiful school with a proven track record of systems, looking at alignment, knowing how to balance leadership when it comes to building capacity amongst just not just her teachers, but with administrators in the building. Her deep focus on instructional outcomes, because she's taken her instructional coach background with her to the administrative role, which is great. We're so happy to kick off the month with Kanika. Hey, Kanika, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it. And I got to ask, the first question is, deep dish or thin crust pizza?
Hi, everybody. I'm a New Yorker. I can never say deep dish. I'm a New Yorker at heart. It has to be thin crust. We fold the pizza, turn it to the side, we eat it. So I can never say deep dish. I don't even know what that's about.
Now, is there, just help me out, because as someone who's never been to New York, is there like the place in New York that when I go there the first time, I've got to have that pizza?
I would say any corner pizza store is really great. Like, you could walk down the street and you can find pizza on any corner. And I would say it would be great. Also, there's a great pizza place I love in it's called Brooklyn's Pizza, and it's in New Jersey. I know, it's not in New York, but it is amazing. I've been going there over 20 years, so it is one of the best.
Brooklyn Pizza. Now, I wonder if you can get an NIL deal out of there for that shout out here on our program here. I don't know, maybe.
Let's see what I could do. And you gave me such a great open, and I promise you I didn't pay you, but thank you for that. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we do have a lot to get to today with Kanika. I'm really excited to hear all of the great stuff that you got to share with our listeners here. So we've got a couple bills to pay, so we'll be right back after this quick break. And just remember, listeners, that every episode gives you something you can control, something that will shift your thinking, and something that you can use to lead your school. So hang on, everybody. We will be right back.
Welcome back. We're diving into our first segment of the day and with our friend Kanika. In leadership, there are so many variables that we can't influence, but today we're focusing on what we can control. And today's controlled topic is feedback to staff. Kanika, you're at a larger building, so managing the flow of feedback to and from staff members and everybody else is a massive undertaking. What we want to hear is how you take the reins in this process to ensure that staff feel supported and seen. So chuck us through this a little bit.
So you mentioned earlier about my background in instructional coaching, and that was one of the key positions that I had. It allowed me to work with staff to give them feedback, and it was non-evaluative. And I found that the non-evaluative feedback will help staff grow and build a capacity because I was not allowed to give feedback because I wasn't an administrator. So I took that, and when I became an administrator, I wanted to use that same model, providing teachers feedback. You mentioned that I'm a New Yorker. So I remember when I was first learning how to drive, I had different drivers teach me. And I remember driving with my hand on the back of the seat, learning how to back up, not looking in the rearview mirror. I remember driving too fast, not following the speed limit. I also remember not putting my hands on 10 and 2, but no one had given me that feedback until I got to the end. And the person that was teaching me how to drive said, I think you need to go take a driving lesson. And I thought, well, for, like, you already taught me how to drive. Then I took a driving lesson and I needed 5 of them. And in that moment, I was given immediate feedback. Put your hands on 10 and 2. Don't blast the music and put your hand behind the seat and look behind you when you're backing up. Make sure you do the correct 3-point turn. And every time I did a driving course, it was feedback immediately. Well, I use that same model as an administrator. Like, teachers need that feedback immediately to grow. Sometimes when you don't give that feedback to them or it's evaluative, things are done in the moment. So my team, I make sure that they give the non-evaluative feedback. In the first month of school, I say, visit 2 classrooms, give them a glow and a grow, tell them something that they need to work on. And then we make sure that it's not written up. We're not sending any emails. We're not communicating through our CLTs as personal for that teacher. And then you go back and you visit again because that same grow that you gave them, you want them to make some improvements. You want teachers to know exactly what they're looking for, what you're looking for before you go in and do that observation. So it is so important that you make sure you control that. Also, you'll create an opportunity where there's trust, and then teachers are doing something amazing, and then they see you in the hallway and say, stop by first period. I'm doing something. I want you to check it out. Or I'll get emails, and students will say, can you come by and see this project that we've created? And then you see that you've created this relationship with teachers, and you're able to control those things because you want teachers to grow and build capacity. That's the point of the feedback, is building that capacity so they can increase student achievement, increase instructional outcomes. And with that piece of you controlling it, it also gives some teachers some autonomy to say, hey, I'm doing something that's great. They know it's not evaluative. I'm walking in, I don't have a computer, I don't have a laptop. I'm really walking in with my 2 phones and my radio and a sticky note and a pen. And when I leave, I'm dropping the sticky note on the table, and they love the immediate feedback. So that is a piece of an administrator that you have to control. It's definitely important that teachers know that you're there to support them. And the minute we say it's non-evaluative, they open the door for us. Why? The students greet you when you walk in. They're ready for you to come in. You know exactly what they're doing. And then if there's something that you want them to do to improve, you make sure that you give them that opportunity. So before you get to that evaluation, they know everything you're looking for. You might say, I want you to do some checks for understanding, or I want you to pull a small group because somebody didn't get it. I need to make sure you have the learning target so the students know exactly what it is that they need to know. Your warm up might be 10 minutes. Okay, I need you to bring that down to 5 and 7 minutes. All right, your I do might be too long. You're doing 20, 30 minutes. How can you do a mini lesson? So when you give them that feedback before you get to that first evaluation, they know everything that you're looking for. So there are no hidden agendas. There's nothing that's going to catch them. Although you know that there's some areas that they need to work on, they know exactly what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's what you've kind of, there's a lot there you start, you kind of like grabbed onto. But what's important about it is it's a lot we can control. See, what I heard a lot of times when we talk about feedback, it's about how do you get better? You started with grow and glow, or glow and grow. I'm not sure which one you said first, but you talked about celebrating. And then here's some ideas. Let's talk about this. We need to do this. And then I really want to emphasize the part where you said the teachers, and I think everybody caught this right, the teachers should know exactly what you're looking for every time you go into a classroom, so it's not a gotcha. And you didn't use the other G word there, glow and grow versus gotcha. And I think that when it comes to what does it specifically look like in the classrooms, what are you looking for instruction? And then you kind of slid over to they're going to invite you in because they want to celebrate with you. And I think that that's kind of like a, what a wonderful way to build capacity, but also build community within that. They catch that glow and grow, right? Versus the gotcha.
Yes. And I say that, I say, this is not an I got you. This is how can I help support you. And when you use that language with teachers, they know you're really there to help support them. And that's the type of culture that I want to create and to continue to create.
Well, that's just, I mean, that's creating trust. They know that you're there to help them get better, and it's a team effort. And I mean, that's perfect. That's exactly what this should be. It's hard to do this on your own. We should all want to do this together to try to get the best that we can for kids.
I got to chuckle how you started talking. You slid in there a little bit about the gradual release of responsibility part of the I do, yeah. You do, we do, or we do, you do. And you talked about the length of time that I chuckle at that, because one of the things I worked with at a previous school was I would go in and then time teachers, because they would ask me and I would write it on the note and I'd walk away. First, they were kind of worried about, is this evaluative because it might go a little longer. I'm like, data's not for me. It's for you. So I left it on the desk and left the room, and they knew, they're professionals. They know what they need to do with the data and so forth. They didn't need any hand-holding or babysitting. They just needed the numbers. And it sounds like kind of like what you're talking about doing right there with that.
Yeah, and I would like to say that it does take some time to do. So it pushes an administrator back when they're trying to meet their deadlines. But the most powerful thing is to be able to build capacity and help teachers grow. And so it's worth it.
Yeah, you're right. Because I do hear that from other people too. Like, I don't have time for walkthroughs. I don't have time for the pieces of feedback. And I get it. It's a busy job. But that's the stuff we need to be doing, because otherwise the impact that we can have, it's minimal. I mean, it really is. We're just putting out fires at that point. That stuff that you're talking about right there is how we can really build forward with our staff.
Yes, and it's immediate. Teachers need to know immediately what it is that they need to work on. And so that part of the process continues to help them.
Yeah, I really think this is such a great reminder of why intentional systems matter. And when you're in a system of the size you are, is the size of the building and everything, and the number of children you have in there, it definitely matters. Hey, we're going to step away, listeners, for a quick commercial break. But stick around. We're about to shift our mindset on how often the feedback should actually be happening. And we'll be right back after this for the shift segment with our friend Kanika.
All right, we are back, and it is time for our shift segment, where we challenge the status quo and look at things through a different lens. Today, we're talking about the frequency of feedback. And Kanika, often in education, feedback is a word that, well, frankly, it triggers anxiety for people because it just happens so rarely, maybe twice a year during a formal eval. But we want to talk about shifting that mindset to make feedback a constant breathing part of the culture. So why is this frequency shift so critical for school success?
It's important because we have, and I'm just speaking in general, two or three evaluations that we have to do throughout the year, maybe one formal, two informals, or vice versa. But it's important that you shift that mindset so that way teachers know, I'm not just coming in on this cycle. Your door is open anytime. Anytime anyone could walk through that door and give you some feedback to help you grow. And it's a culture shift. It's really a culture shift to be able to influence the staff to know that we need them to buy into this, but also to know that this is to help you grow. So when three or four people come in for a walkthrough, it's not anything random. They know, okay, they continue to teach. Nobody pauses. They don't come over. They don't ask you any questions, but it's shifting the mindset that if you provide teachers non-evaluative feedback throughout the year, and you continue to give them that cycle, they'll be so used to it that by the time you get to the end of the year, you will see them actually grow and make some improvements in things that they used to do. And somebody might say, I used to do this for 10 years this way. But now that you continue to give them that feedback, they've now changed and they've adjusted and it made some impact, because the most important outcome is student achievement. It's instructional outcomes for these students. So you have to be able to shift that mindset. And it starts with the leader sharing that at the beginning of the year, that this is a culture that we have here in the building.
You said right there, the important part here is student achievement. I mean, that's the goal, right? I think sometimes we forget about that. We're working on trying to become better at instruction, or I'm trying to become a better leader, and whatever that is. The end result is still the same thing regardless. It is, we're going to see better student achievement. That's the whole point.
different. When I think about when you shift that mindset, you have these conversations and they start taking place in the CLT. And you start talking about, okay, we got this feedback as a team. Here are the things we need to do. I got this feedback individually. What did you do to make some improvements with your students? How did you work to solve that problem? What activities did you put in place? Like, how did you support the needs of ELLs and students with disabilities? How did you support the gifted to make sure they continue to improve? How did you meet the middle of the road student so that way they can make improvements? And it really starts with the feedback that you give to teachers, because you could say, I'm going to look at this math classroom, all my math classrooms, and I want to see what activities you're doing with our students with disabilities, or I want to see what activities you are doing with our students. When you continue to give that feedback and it's specific and it's focused, now the teachers know what you're looking for. Now they can be able to make some adjustments and make some improvements, but it has to be specific. If you give, and this is my personal opinion, a teacher 3 to 4 things to work on, 5 things to work on, it is impossible for them to work on that. Mm-hmm. Keep it to 1 or 2. So that way they know with those 2 things, okay, I'm making some improvements. Now you go back in again, okay, you say I might find 1 or 2 more things and you focus on 1 or 2 more things. But if you give a teacher 5 things to focus on, it is too many things and they will not be able to make any improvements.
Yeah, it's great.
So I want to jump in and I want to jump in on that one, because I just think that is where, you know, as I'm following you along and everything, and I hear frequency is valuable and non-evaluative feedback is infrequent, becomes just kind of what you do. And when you state it up front and then your actions follow your words, great. The part that I think is the most, that I grabbed most from this is, which got my thinking a little bit more, is you talk about the frequency and so forth, but you focused on specific strategies and specific activities that you're giving feedback on. And then when they come together in their CLT, which I'm assuming is their academic group or their content area group or grade level group, now you're also talking about, hey, man, we don't want to overload. Just 1 to 2 straight things we want to touch base on, whether it be on their strategies or their activities or a focus. We want to keep it kind of tight with that. Too much is too much. And you're talking about a slow and sustainable growth versus strategy dump or feedback dump or whatever the case might be on that. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
That is. And even when you give the feedback, let's say you do your first formal, informal, I'll say, these are the things that I'm looking for. And when I come back and I visit you again, in between that cycle of me doing your second one, I'm looking for these things specifically. Like, I want you to make some improvements and focus on that. And so they know when they walk away, I'm targeting this specific area or these 2 things that I'm really focused on. And so when you go back again for your walkthrough, when you go back again before you do your formal, they know, okay, she's looking for these things or my team is looking for these things. And then you go back and you see it in action again. And so that is a point to give it to them to make some improvements, not to give them an observation, informal, and then they see you that one time and then you don't go back again until it's time for the second time. You won't know if they've implemented the feedback that you've given them to help them grow professionally and build their capacity.
Well, and if you just wait till the very end, that is your gotcha, right? I mean, if you're not doing all of this stuff ahead of time and all it is just the one time that I come in to do a formal observation, there's no way around that not being a gotcha. So what you're doing there is not only giving people the data and the feedback that they need to improve and grow, but it's also building this length of time where we can see where that destination is going to be for that evaluation. I mean, whether we like it or not, evaluation is part of the work in education, and it is part of making sure that everybody is growing at the rate we need to be growing and continuing to provide the best that we can for students. But it doesn't have to be such a anxiety-ridden piece. It can be a conversation between adults that are with that same path.
When I don't come in with my computer, that is when everybody's anxiety goes down because they know it's not formal. They know I'm just coming in there to see what they're doing. I'm spending 15 to 20 minutes in there. I'm leaving a sticky and I'm walking out. And so the anxiety is down. So I even share this with my team. Like, when you're walking in to give that feedback and it's not on a formal cycle, leave your computer outside. That way you bring the anxiety down and they know, okay, this administrator is here to give me this feedback or help me grow or to focus on one specific thing that they've already talked to me about in an evaluation.
I'm going to age myself on this one. When I was teaching, it wasn't the computer that was the issue. It was the yellow legal pad that was the issue. That's when we knew. That was it. Yeah, that was it. So.
Well, this is a powerful shift indeed. I can't wait to see what we're going to have in our lead segment. So listeners, hang on. We'll be right back after this break as we wrap up with that lead segment on how to lead by deleting a common misconception. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what that is from our guest, Kanika Dorsey. Hang on, listeners. We'll be right back after this.
We are back for our final segment, Lead of Control Shift Lead. This is where we stop talking about the why and start talking about the how. We want to delete the idea that a principal is only there for discipline. This is clearly a common misperception that the main office is just a hub for behavior management, but the truth is a great principal is an instructional leader first. Kanika. Yeah. If you spend all your time reacting to discipline, you're not going to be able to do all this feedback, evaluative or non-evaluative, that you're talking about. So let's talk about how you've shifted that focus to be the instructional leader that your staff needs. How do you do this, Kanika?
One, I love being an instructional leader. That is the calling. I love it. It is the most important work. The continuous improvement plan is really drives what it is that we're focused on as instructional leaders. It tells you the goals that you need to focus on, the areas that you need to meet, and the improvements that you need to make. And as a leader of a building, I'm the person who I have to take a hold of that and lead that. So we think about what is the PD that needs to take place throughout the year based on a continuous improvement plan? What are the department meetings that need to take place based on a improvement plan? And then it's really looking at the data before you start the school year to say, these are the areas that we really need to focus on as a school. How are we going to move this? And then it's going into the classrooms, doing walkthroughs with your admin team, working with people from central office, going in to do the walkthroughs, making sure that you're focused on those areas. And one of the things I really love the most is that when you train teacher leaders, they go in and they can do the walkthroughs for you as a team. They go in and the administrators are not with them. They're walking in. We have a walkthrough tool that we use. They are giving that feedback to all the teachers after they are done. They're meeting at their department meetings and talking about what they need to focus on. And it is powerful because it comes from another teacher who is teaching the same instruction, same grade level, different, but the same content. So when they receive that feedback from that teacher, it really helps them to make some improvements. And as the instructional leader, you have to build that into your school, that culture, so they know that when your colleague comes in, they're coming in to give you some feedback to help you grow. So it is important to be the instructional leader to see that process through, and then making sure that when you finish with your walkthroughs, when you finish going to give your feedback, when you're meeting with the teachers, that they can see the trends. And you also have to focus on a positive. I know sometimes in this job it gets hard and there's a lot of negativity. And so you want to focus on that. Yep. But it is important to focus on those positive things and to talk about how you want to do that and then make improvements. And then we as a district, we have walkthroughs, we call them instructional rounds that we do. And we come back and we focus on one specific area that we want to make improvements in. But I am big on if it's not in this continuous improvement plan, we can't do it.
Well, I like really what you focused there on the teachers. The more that we are building capacity amongst our staff, but the more that we are kind of pouring into the professionals of instruction, the teachers, the less we're making this about being personal, more about the student and their growth, and you're kind of taking away that personal part component of it, that where emotions kind of get cloud actually progress, I guess you would say. And now you're kind of like, hey, we're all in this together. It's not just three administrators that can give feedback or an instructional coach that can guide. It's all of us working together. And I also want to emphasize, like you said, we always are focused on how do we get better, and, which is important. Don't get me wrong. But we can't forget that we got to celebrate the positives that we do, because there is a ton of great things. I've been to your school a few times. There is a lot to celebrate in that school. And if we go in there just talking about growth, we're forgetting about all the growing that we've done, and we should be celebrating as well. So I really appreciate you kind of like making that a point of emphasis with that.
That's a good point, Jim.
One of the things we will do this year is we will have different teachers walk. So usually we have department chairs walk. Now we have teachers sign up so they can go do the walk, and they will do it with one or two colleagues from different departments, and they'll go ahead and walk and visit classrooms like we do. So I'm just really trying to build everybody's capacity, not just our teacher leaders, not just our department chairs, not just administration, really for the entire staff.
Now, there's a cost that goes along with that, I'm assuming, Kanika. For you to be able to pull that off, there's probably have to have some substitutes or covering other people's classes and everything. But I'm kind of guessing, I'll lead you. Here's a volleyball for you to spike down question. All right. I'm assuming that's worth the cost, though.
It is worth the cost because you see the end results. And you really see teachers trying to grow and have a conversation. And Jim's been to my building. And, you know, sometimes when we have our CLTs and we're there, they're really talking about, okay, we got this feedback. Like, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to use it? And the administrators are in the CLT. That is part of their responsibility. But again, it goes to leading the work as the instructional leader. That is at the forefront of the work that we do in this role.
Yeah. And everybody's a leader. I mean, we talk about that. Everybody's a leader often. I mean, you know, Jay Casas and Associates, I know that's one of their big concepts is everybody's a leader. And we need to make sure that we really walk the talk with that. And what you're just describing is that you're leading with teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty impactful.
Side by side. Yep.
Side by side. That is a game changer for any administrator if you can get to that level. Hey, listeners, we're going to take a quick one last break, and then we're going to come back and wrap things up, kind of like check in with what's coming up in the future. And if you want to reach out to Kanika, because I got to do a little plug here for her. She is just has an amazing background story when it comes to how she got to where the role that she's in, not just in her professional life, but her personal life, man, she is a warrior. And when we come back from break, we're going to touch base a little bit on that and get to know Kanika just a little bit more. And then how do you reach out to Kanika if you want to just kind of talk things through with her a little bit?
All right. Well, we have covered a lot of ground today with Kanika Dorsey. And Jim, before we sign off and wrap this up today, can you give our listeners a quick recap of the goal that was shared today?
Absolutely. But being able to recap that vast amount of information shared with me, I just don't know, but here we go. So in the control over control shift lead, you know, what really stuck out to me is that the intent and the focus and the walk and the talk on the glow and the grow, nothing to do with the gotcha. Glow and the grow, making everything very specific and intentional along the way, and no secrets with the staff. The shift portion, frequency, the being in the classroom, non-evaluative. And then when we are focusing on one to two things for a staff member to grow, it's just one to two. It's not a plethora of pieces of advice or things to work on. And then finally, the lead one really kind of stuck with me the most, and that is we're leading with teachers, not at them, not for them, but with them. The preposition clearly does matter within that. And I kind of teased a little bit going into this. More than anything else, I'm going to tell you, I have been amazed with when Kanika shared a little bit about her how she got there, her journey and so forth. And I think we're kind of like kind of feeling each other out, just kind of talking about, you know, where we're at, is because we're both Scorpios. And so that plays out a little bit too. Kanika grew up in New York, and she didn't have flowers and petals at her feet all the time in the mornings, but she had a solid, wonderful family. And Kanika started this journey as a single parent. So she didn't have her administrative degree as a single parent, but she had great family support, and she worked hard, traveled a lot, studied late, did what she needed to do as a parent, which I can never pat people in the back enough to do the best they can as a parent.
Kanika did
all that, and she is killing it at an amazing school with an amazing district. And she did that as a single parent. And so her baby girl sees her. I don't know if there's a better role model. I don't know if there is. Mm-hmm. Kanika, what did I leave out in that? Tell me a little bit more.
So you mentioned family. I grew up with my parents and two brothers and two sisters, and my family was everything. They really made sure they poured into us. I'll say that when my father passed at 19, it was a shock for all of us. And at that time, my mother said to me, if you go to school, I will take care of her. And I thought, okay, say that again. And she said, if you go to school, I will take care of her. And so that was my journey on, let me start going to school. My mother said she would take care of my daughter for me so I could continue to pursue a degree. And so I started with my bachelor's degree. And at that time, my mother came, and I'm telling you, I lived in the Bronx, and she would take my daughter to school for me, and I would get on the bus, and I would go to school until I was able to get a car. And she did that for me for about 2 to 3 years, leaving from the Bronx to go to Yonkers to take my daughter to school. And then I moved to Maryland, and I was pursuing a degree, my master's, and a coaching certificate. And at the job I had, I did a lot of traveling. And so I would call my mom and I would say, I need you to come here for a week for me. Can you come? And she would get on that train and she would come and she would stay with my daughter so that way I could travel for my job. My family is very loving, supportive, and caring. And I really don't talk about the journey that I took to be a single mother. I wouldn't trade it in with the family that I had because it helped me to get to this point. Between my brothers and sisters, even my nieces and my nephew, who helped me raise my daughter. Then I met a good friend along the way here, and she said, I need you to stop taking your daughter with you to school 3 times a week. So before there was social media and you saw these professors with the daughters or the sons on their shoulder in the classroom, that was me. My daughter went to school with me until I decided to work on my third degree. And she said, I'm not going with you anymore and I need you to stop for a few. But I remember taking her to school with me, and there was only one professor who said, the topics in here are going to be too much for her. She cannot come to this class. And then I left her with somebody who would actually get her ready. She stayed with her for a while and then would bring her to school for me. And so that journey was something that along the way that pushed me and motivate me. And one of the things that I don't have the story of the teacher who said, I had a story of a teacher who influenced me to do this job. I don't have that story. My story is that when I was 10, a teacher told me I would never graduate high school or college, and that is my push. Mm-hmm. That is the thing that continued to motivate me. That is the thing that said I will give 110% to these children in any role, in any capacity that I am in, and that is why I give with my heart. Like, I want these children to know they have somebody who cares for them, because I don't know what that was like. I can't tell you I can go back and remember a teacher who influenced me through my K-12 education. I don't have one of those, but I want to make sure that when I became a teacher and as I'm a leader, that these students can go back and remember we had somebody who cared about me. So that is my journey. My daughter now has 2 grandchildren, so I'm a grandmother. They tell me I don't look like one. I'll take it, but I continue to be there and support her. And everybody, even in the building, they know, like, my family comes first. Yeah. I love my family. And I encourage the staff to do that. Like, be there for your family. Don't miss out on those moments, because I had a lot of time where I missed out on some moments that I wish I can go back. And I'm thankful for my mother being there, because she showed up for me time and time again. Like, she never stopped showing up for me. And so I just had the love and support of my family so I can do what I do and be in this role right now. And I'm thankful.
Well, I just sit there and think about everybody has a different journey when it comes to leadership. We need to keep people in the game. So if you're a single parent out there, or if you're a female administrator, this is a great person to reach out to. Kanika's got your back. And when she talks about every kid wants to, you know, she wants everybody to know that there's at least one person in the school that cares about you. It's actually true. I've seen the interactions. I've seen zero children be anything but respectful to Kanika. Now, maybe it hasn't always been the case, but every single time I'm there and every interaction I see, zero. They always are respectful to you. And you know how to speak with them. You know their tone. You know the language. You know them as humans first, which I think is just absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I know I'm speaking for Adam on this. I really do appreciate you blessing us by being here on Control Lead, not just for the knowledge you're dropping, but just because of the human you are, the role model you are for female administrators. And I just can't thank you enough for that.
Kanika, how do people get in touch with you? How, if they want to reach out and find out more about your story and partner with you and just get even more of this amazing amount of knowledge you have, how do they get in touch?
They can reach out to me on Instagram. So first, let me say I have to use it, but I promise I will respond back to you. My handle is at Kanika Dorsey, KanikaDorsey. So you can reach out to me on Instagram.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, this has been an amazing show today. It's really great to meet you and hear your story. And I can just tell that there's a lot more to that story and how it's got you to the place that you're at and the amazing amount of success you've had. So this has been great. Thank you for joining us today. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Thank the both of you for having me here.
Adam, March is here. You talked about March Madness.
Yep.
That is wonderful. I can't wait for this. It's going to be, I think it's going to be the craziest bracket of all. And we definitely can recap that in April. Tell our audience, who do we have coming in April?
Well, in April, we've got Dr. Chad Lang. Chad is a friend of mine that I've known for a little while now, and he does a lot of really, really great work with Recalibrated Education Services. In fact, he just released an article. I don't know if you had a chance to read that yet, Jim, but it was a fascinating article where he's comparing tightening of the strike zone in Major League Baseball to what would happen if we tighten our parameters around standards reference grading and the fact that you actually become more accurate by tightening that zone. So it's pretty impressive stuff. And Chad's got some really a wealth of knowledge as well that he's going to share with us coming in April. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate it.
Well, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again, Kanika, for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on again on Control Shift Lead. For Jim Wichman and our guest, Kanika Dorsey, I'm Adam Bush. Go out there and control, shift, and lead your school this month. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out with us today on Control Shift Lead. If you enjoyed the show, there's plenty more to discover in the show notes, including ways to connect with Jim and Adam, or even launch your own educational podcast. While you're there, take a look at the other amazing shows on the Forward Ed Network. They're doing incredible work sharing the stories of educators everywhere. We'll see you next month. Now, go out and control, shift, and lead your school.